today's first reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 17. So we start off with, "For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. You are also God's building. Using the gift that God gave me, I did the work of an expert builder and laid the foundation, and someone else is building on it. But each of you must be careful how you build. For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation. Others will use wood or grass or straw. And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if your work is burnt up, then you will lose it, but you yourself will be saved as if you had escaped through the fire. Surely you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you. God will destroy anyone who destroys God's temple. For God's temple is holy, and you yourselves are his temple."
Verses 1 to 10. "Rid yourselves then of all evil, no more lying or hypocrisy or jealousy or insulting language. Be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it may grow up, you may grow up and be saved. As the scripture says, you have found out for yourselves how kind the Lord is. Come to the Lord, the living stone rejected by people as worthless, but chosen by God as valuable. Come as living stones, and let yourselves be used in building the spiritual temple, where you will serve as holy priests to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. For the scripture says, I chose a valuable stone, which I am placing as the cornerstone in Zion. And whoever believes in him will never be disappointed. This stone is of great value for you that believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. And another scripture says, this is the stone that will make people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. They stumbled because they did not believe in the word, such was God's will for them. But you are the chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. At one time, you were not God's people, but now you are his people. At one time, you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received his mercy."
Do you believe that he has something to say to you from his word? You will not be disappointed if you trust the word. If we can have the PowerPoint up, that's great. Just four slides today, and we're continuing to think on the only way to build, and it's within our theme of the way. I loved Pete's slipped in comment earlier that we were going to move from life builder to in my life Lord be glorified, with a smooth segue transition, which I think I might even preach on that, the way God segues through. If you don't know what a segue is, you've got to Google it today. But that smooth transition, the only way to build. We've been asking, what shape should the church take in 2019? This local church, but also God's church. What shape should the church take in 2019 to best tell and be good news to other people? Because that's what we've been chosen for, to tell the wonderful works of God. How should we therefore live together in community as a church and present ourselves and our message to people in this local community of place and the communities where we live and work and study? We no longer live as our Victorian forebears lived, who built this chapel. The world has changed. We live in the now. And we're very grateful to our forebears, men and women who built this chapel, who worshipped and witnessed to their generation. But we need to tell and be the church now. And that does not mean just going to church. We need to be the church. We were saying last week in our 150th anniversary weekend that we have a great clue. It's more than a clue, which is carved into the cornerstone, the foundation stone of our building, and it actually comes into our reading here. This is what's carved there. In our translation, 1 Corinthians 3:11, God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Jesus is the foundation upon which we build. Now, when a building is put up and the foundation stone is set, then we know where that building is going to be. We know where it's going to remain. We know the shape that the foundation will take as the foundation is poured, if such a thing is poured. It wasn't in this building, but the foundation is there. A building is immovable, but the church, the people, can move. A building can't move. A building can't go into its community. A building can't be present where you will be tomorrow, but you can. We can get up and go, and we can get up and be God's people every day of the week, wherever we find ourselves or intentionally place ourselves. So we know this, don't we? As the church here, we're people who are together in community, and that is a praying community, a community who is genuinely asking God what shape should we take, and listening to the word of the Spirit, and then simply choosing to faithfully follow, to build on the rock of Jesus Christ, to be the church as God wants us to be today, to be shaped. And it may be very different from the church you grew up in if you happen to grow up in a community of believers. We are told that there will be trouble and persecution that will come because of the message we preach. Jesus Christ is offensive to people. He's like a stone in the ground that people trip up over. Jesus Christ is a stone, a rock that some people reject and refuse to build into their lives. And if we are gently and kindly persistent in sharing the message, then we may face trouble and persecution. But if our roots, if our foundation is deep enough into God, then we will do more than survive. We will thrive. The church will continue. The largest church in China is not the visible church that meets on a Sunday morning, but the underground church. And things look, as we've said, like getting very tough for anyone who believes anything other than Chinese dogma. Anything. It doesn't matter what faith you are. It's going to get even worse. The scripture teaches, and it develops from start to finish, that our God is a God of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God is a God who builds and creates things, and we are to work in team, in community, with our God. We model the family of Godhead in the way that we actually are the church. I think we can see that when we get to the day of Jesus and we live in the day of Jesus, that the emphasis switches from the physical stones and temple there in Jerusalem to actually building a temple with living stones. the physical building is very secondary to actually building a temple of living stones, a community of people. We said last week that you and I can be church builders. And I'm pleased that when Jeff and I leave here, we can say we've been part of a church building team. And the foundation is Jesus, the divine Jesus. But you and I can be builders. We're not to be building with bricks and mortar, but actually we are to be building people into following Jesus. That is very, very exciting. Do you want to be a church builder? Are you committed to that? Is that high on your list of priorities? To see communities of people following Jesus Christ. To see that as part of our aim and our target for this church community in the years ahead. So we're involved in building not a physical temple, but a spiritual temple out of living people. And you are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you if you believe in Jesus. God's Spirit lives in you, hallelujah. And God's Spirit lives in the people of God. There is only one way to build the church, because it is Jesus' church. I will build my church. And it is by listening to Jesus. We should not deceive ourselves, the passage said. And I've said how easily we deceive ourselves that God wants something a certain way, when really that's just what we want. Don't deceive yourselves. What does God want? Only God has the wisdom needed to remake humanity, to save human beings. And not just those that carry a knife in their belt and are intent upon stabbing somebody, but to save those people who are rich in this world's goods, but poor in their inner life. God has the wisdom to remake humanity through Jesus Christ, to bring us and keep us into a living relationship with himself. This is what we were made for, and as our songs have said, this will bring glory to God. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In our church, Lord, be glorified. In our streets, Lord, be glorified. We were made to know God, to worship God. We were made to build the church in many ways together with people, as Peter says, from every nation and ethnic group in the world. Once we were not a people, says Peter, but now we are a people. We are a new nation. I am First Nation Kingdom of God. Not British, not Ugandan. I am First Nation people of God. That doctrine will stop racism, racial superiority, ethnic cleansing, everything understood. Now we are a people. The emphasis has switched from a physical building, however magnificent it was, to building a temple, a spiritual temple of people who know God through Jesus Christ. Now the temple in Jerusalem, and some of you have seen that, the remains of it, there's not a lot left standing, is there? You know, you've got the wall of prayer and some other stones scattered all around. But the temple in Jerusalem dominated the skyline in the day of Jesus. But it dominated the minds and the obsessions of the people of Jerusalem. It was the center of the national life of the Hebrews, and it was of significance to many other nations. The Romans handled it with care, but they were the ones in AD 70 in the siege of Jerusalem that effectively leveled it to the ground. This thing that so much human effort had gone into, the temple, as Jesus said, was flawed. The original Solomon's Temple was constructed 10 centuries before the coming of Christ, and 20 years before the coming of Christ, or before BCE really, Herod the Great actually began to reconstruct, to renovate, to extend the temple. He spent maybe 46 years, certainly over 40. And this was continuing to Jesus' day. It wasn't yet finished. So it dominated their thinking. It was amazing Many of the magnificent stones were hard, white limestone, which were quarried fairly locally. Archaeologists have discovered the quarries from which they probably came. But Solomon's builders also found other beautiful stones from other parts of the then world. It was so beautiful that people would stand in amazement and gaze and say, "The temple, the temple." They worshipped the temple, not the God who'd refused to live in it, but they said, the temple," they cried out. And it housed the whole system of worship and sacrifice that was the center of Judaism. It was a powerhouse because families like Annas, the high priest, and others controlled it. So when Jesus spoke publicly of destroying the temple and raising it up again in 3 days in John chapter 2, verse 19, he was considered subversive and probably somewhat of a maniac. It's 40 years to put it up. You're going to tear it down in 3 days and rebuild it. Now we know, John goes on to say, that Jesus was talking about his body, the temple of God, that would be torn down in death to the ground and raised up again. But in fact, also physically, Jesus' coming spoke the flooring of the physical temple, the end of any sacrifice that was carried out in a central place, because he had become the Paschal Lamb, the sacrifice. Now, when we think about quarrying and building, there's so much to say that can relate to what it actually means about becoming church. Blocks of stone, and they're massive. You couldn't really even embrace them, these massive blocks of stone, granite or marble, limestone. These great blocks were not hewn out of a rock mass easily. People didn't just pick them up and pluck them and say, "Oh, a little stone." I loved the stone garden that we saw, but these were too heavy for any person to lift. These were amazing. They were not harvested easily and built into a temple. If the rocks could speak, they would probably complain bitterly, not just the workers, about the harshness, chisels and the saws that had cut them out of the quarry and taken them to become part of that magnificent building. And within Scripture is also the teaching that as we are built into a spiritual temple, that too will require us to endure hardship, setbacks, and difficulties. Human quarrying, the cutting of human stones and building them into a community, a temple of faith, involves suffering. Suffering is part of the process of spiritual quarrying, of sizing and polishing and preparing us, the living stones, for our roles in God's kingdom. We are part of that building, but it is going to involve suffering. Peter's understanding of building the community of God's people, the church, included an understanding of suffering, not just a success story. I want to hear the stories of God's success through human suffering and endurance, because I believe those are the deepest works of God. Everybody wants to just tell me these wonderful stories of success. I want to know how they got there, what they had to go through, the people in those churches, the people that chose to keep following Jesus, because that tells me about the work of God's Holy Spirit, the cutting of living stones of lives. Peter, in 1 Peter 5, towards the end of the letter, prays, and he says this: "May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." He takes it for granted that they're going to go through suffering, but he's praying for them for a time of strengthening and being settled. The hewing, the chipping, the sizing, the polishing are all vital parts of making each stone fit. The things you go through that you are angry about in life are things that God has allowed to happen in your life to shape you into what you are. You are like a precious living stone. God loves you and he intends what is best for you, but God will not spare you if you need to know his refining his hand upon your life. God is our master builder. God, the architect, has a blueprint, a plan. God, the Father. And the church is his household, the people amongst whom God lives. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I cannot say often enough, you do not come to church, you are the church. I cannot say often enough, this church is not God's house. You are God's house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This, precious as it is the home of the church. It's a base for mission. It's a center for community activity and sharing the good news of Jesus. You are the holy temple of God. And we are to behave as we should, a holy temple, as living stones, in relationship with Jesus, our foundation, and one another. In good relationships with our leaders who build on that foundation, we are the church. We are the house, the temple of God, where God lives. Hallelujah. Now, both Paul and Peter, who we hold as great teachers, and others, understood and developed Jesus' idea of a holy temple, of a community of people amongst whom God dwells. And that's amazing, because Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a former member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew of Jews. He would have revered the temple, and yet he is declaring this wonderful thing about the people of God, the community of God, being the temple of God's Holy Spirit. He actually wrote this to the Ephesians, talking to the Gentiles so that they could know that they were a great part of what God was actually doing in building this living community, this living temple. So you Gentiles are no longer outsiders. You're no longer aliens. You're fellow citizens with every other Christian. You belong now to the household of God. Firmly beneath you is the foundation, God's messengers and prophets, the cornerstone being Christ Jesus himself. In him, each separate piece of the building, properly fitting into its neighbor, grows together into a temple consecrated to the Lord. You're all part of this building in which God himself lives by his Spirit. When we come together for worship, it's a very special time. Because as living stones, we're gathering from all different places and we're coming together to declare the glory of God. We stand on the Christian lives of those who have gone before us. So we stand on the teachings of the apostles and prophets who stand upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on the shoulders of those saints who have gone before us, who have been in this church and community. They are part of the living stones. Those who have died in the faith, the saints who await their resurrection from the dead. And Jesus is both the foundation on which we build and the cornerstone. And the cornerstone, like we see outside, everything is lined up against it. Everything is made true by that cornerstone. And we're lined up on whatever Jesus said and did. Our value system is based upon Jesus. If we live our lives with integrity, in line with Jesus, then we too become an integral part of the temple. But so often, if we don't align with Jesus, we become a problem to the temple, the living stones, and we knock others out of line. It's not that we're seeking to be regimented. It's a very difficult building to build, isn't it? Building with people. It's very difficult, isn't it? In the church to build with people, which is why it's a good job Jesus is doing the build. It's not easy to get on with people and live as we're told to get on with, is it? We need a structure with integrity where we behave as Jesus and the New Testament teachers teach. And in Peter, here's an example of how we are to live actually as the people of God. Rid yourselves then of all evil. No more lying. Or hypocrisy, or jealousy, or insulting language. It'd be good if the church got rid of those things, wouldn't it? Be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it you may grow up and be saved. As the scripture says, you've found out for yourselves how kind the Lord is. How kind is God? Let's have a little bit more kindness. How kind the Lord is. Come to the Lord, the living stone, rejected by people as worthless, but chosen by God as valuable. Come as living stones and let yourselves be used. Let yourself be used in building the spiritual temple, where you will serve as holy priests to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. May it be so with God's help. This is how, the only way the church can be built, by us lining up with Jesus and by seeking with God's help to be people of integrity as Jesus sees people of integrity. This is quite a construction job, isn't it? And as Jeff said, it's to be progressed. It's always in constant build. None of your 46 years to build the temple of God. This is being built through all the generations with the master builder listening to him. The spiritual temple of God is a work in progress. So I can say to you, be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. I can look at you and say, Jane, be patient with them. God hasn't finished with them yet. It's a work in progress. But are you progressing in this, being a living stone? Undoubtedly, God is very excited at the different elements taking shape in different parts of the world. It's global. He's building us as living stones, as people with personalities and soul, into a living temple. And this is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. No doubt, too, God experiences disappointments. When Bernie interviewed me, he asked me both about the joys, the challenges, and I spoke about the great joys being people, but also often the disappointments of people, human nature. The Holy Spirit, too, is grieved at times, we're told in Ephesians chapter 4, and we can look at what grieves the Holy Spirit. When we start saying no to the Holy Spirit, when we start saying no, when we start putting other things as more important than Jesus. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, let yourselves be used and built into something holy. That's wonderful, isn't it? Let it happen. I talked about how in Acts they gave of their time. They gave freely of their time. Here's another thing. Let yourselves be used to build something holy. Holy means you're available to God. That's essentially what holiness means. You and I are to be holy, which means we are available to do God's work. It's going to be costly to give what God wants. Why? Well, the temple is a place of sacrifice. And following Jesus will affect everything in your life. I said in the offering prayer, the hardest thing is to give God command of our wealth and resources. It will cost us in terms of time and relationships. It will cost us in terms of stamina. But God is no one's debtor. God owes me nothing. I owe him everything. God owes you nothing. He died for you. It will be a sacrifice. It will be a worship offering if you give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, it's hard. I'm sorry, this is what Jesus preached. I'm only the messenger. Don't shoot me, okay? It will be costly. But you will see other people giving sacrificially as a temple, laying down their lives, an offering of praise, thanking God. It will bring glory to God. Do you value the foundation and the cornerstone that God has laid in the ground? Jesus literally was laid in the ground. The rock, the stone, buried. Do you value that foundation, that cornerstone? The builders rejected Jesus, and some stumble over Jesus. He's a major obstacle. The Muslims do know they need to listen to what Jesus says. They do know that the Quran says that they must read the Injil and that they must consider Jesus. Let's hold them to that. But we need to live our lives based on Jesus. We need to do that. I love the story, and we're nearly at the end, of the stone that some rejected. And I've told this many times to you. In a quarry near Florence were beautiful stones that sculptors came to choose the right stone for whatever they wanted to sculpt. And a really gifted sculptor can apparently see within a stone that which is trying to get out. And a little known sculptor called Michelangelo went to the quarry and saw a beautiful, beautiful, vast piece of stone. Nobody wanted it. It was pushed to the corner. It was too big to move. Nobody wanted it because it seemed flawed. It had been cut, not straight or true, but at a slight angle. And he commandeered the stone. And from it let out, loosed, I believe, one of the most beautiful. Perhaps the Pieta is more beautiful, but sculptures in the whole human world, in a way, I think. He loosed from that statue David. Anatomically superb, magnificent. And he's been copied and copied and copied again. And he's actually, David is in the Accademia Gallery in Florence. But that stone was rejected. But from it was loosed something magnificent. Jesus was rejected. But Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation. Jesus is God in flesh. You are chosen like the chief cornerstone. Each of us as living stones are being individually set apart from others. If you are prepared to serve God as a living stone, then you are chosen. It's tied in together. And you are being prepared to fit into a spiritual house, to relate to other people, to come close to other people. You may even find in being in the church, you find yourself weighed down by other people because they're resting on you. But you may be resting on somebody else and weighing them down. But God is putting together this amazing temple of human beings relating in community to God and to one another, to be a dwelling place for God to live and move amongst us. That picture that's ultimately given in Revelation of God dwelling with human beings. The picture Peter wants us to imagine is that each one of these stones is chosen individually, pulled out of the field, out of the quarry, shaped and put together. Christians being transformed into a suitable dwelling place for God. When we start, we're very raw, aren't we? We're deeply, deeply flawed. To cut out the real human being, like Michelangelo cut David out of the rock, is going to require chiseling and shaping. To begin is what God wants. This begins to place a sense of responsibility on each of the living stones, and for some it is too much. To know that God wants you as a living stone in a holy temple is tough. It's too hard for any of us, but with God's help, it is possible. Do you sense this responsibility to make yourself available today? What it means in practice for this church is in the weeks and months ahead, you do not stop attending because Jeff and I have left. You are committed to building the church here. It is the church of Jesus Christ. You will forget me. A new generation of people will come. You will even forget Jeff and his ghastly jokes. But do not forget Jesus. Please do not forget the things that we have taught you that are of God. You need to be available to be a living stone. Some of you are newly going to be committed in membership here and giving. Listen to what God is saying. Encourage those who find it difficult to be living stones. Encourage them. Take up your place as a living stone. God is the designer. God is the builder. We are bound together by the love of God, holding us together. What shape should the church of God take? Well, I believe it should take a God-human shape, a cruciform shape. Many churches are built with a cross, the buildings in the shape of a cross. Who is the God-human shape that we know? Who is fully God and fully human? Jesus. That is the shape the church should take. You are the body of Jesus Christ. You are the building. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit to God's glory. Will you give yourselves to this? Will you make yourself available for this? Are you needed? Yes. Every living stone is needed. There is a place, a role, a responsibility for every one of us. You are handpicked by God. Let's be still. Let's wonder and say of the church, the temple of the Spirit to the glory of God. Let's just be still.